You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We appreciate the support for New Day with Rhett Palmer from the family of Mosquito Joe. For information, find them on the internet at melbourne@mosquitojoe.com. Roaches gone, ants gone, spiders and hornets all gone. Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Today we're talking with Pastor Bob Littleton.
I realized that I was a desperate, broken sinner who needed a Savior, that I could not save myself.
So you surrendered, so to speak.
I did. It's like all the pieces of the intellectual information that I had all came together that day. And it was, I didn't hear bells go off or, you know, any of that kind of thing, but it was transformational. In fact, my wife, you know, could immediately see a difference when I got home.
Really?
Yes.
What'd she say?
She was like, "Where were you?" And, you know, anyway, so... But over the course of the next couple days...
Women can tell. What is it about women? Yeah. Little telltale signs. They just, you know, you come in, "Hey, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. What's the matter? What do you mean, what's the matter? It's a great day." No, something's the matter. "Well, I lost my job today."
Yeah, so it was good. But then as the weeks go on, she's thinking, "Oh, my gosh, what has happened to my husband? He's gone off the deep end, you know." Because when I get into something, I'm all in, you know. And I was all in on this Jesus thing. And I had this pharmacist friend who I guess was sort of witnessing to me over the years I was there. Maybe it was a year. Anyway, Tony, I thank the Lord for you. But Tony heard that I got born again and I gave my life to the Lord. And he said, "Come here, I want you to go to this training thing." So I end up going to this Presbyterian church and I went to something called Evangelism Explosion, which is something founded by D. James Kennedy. Some of your listeners may be familiar with him. I think he does a radio program called Truths That Transform. Anyway, he founded this program. And I remember, you know, you had to learn scripture, and we'd visit people who went to this church. I remember one, I don't know if it was the first night or second night. The first night we went out on visit is we went to visit this couple who came to the church. And we shared the plan of salvation, you know, and I got to share one verse, you know. I think it was Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, and it's not of works, so that no one can boast." You know, and then my trainer continued, and he shared his testimony and, the plan of salvation, that we cannot save ourselves. And I remember the young man was sort of... Then we went to actually visit him, and his girlfriend was there. And Tony asked him, "Would you like to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And he wasn't interested. And he turned to the young lady, and she said, "Yes, absolutely." And that young lady prayed and invited Christ in her life. And I was so excited. I about lit up and jumped out of my seat with excitement. And that lit a fire in me to share to share the gospel with everyone and anyone I had the opportunity to. And so we went out many times, and Tony and I would go witnessing, sometimes just out on the street corners and doing a little survey with people and asking those two questions. I've asked hundreds of people those two questions over the years. You know, what would you say to God, you know, if he said, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" And most people answer the question, "Well, I've been a pretty good person, you know, I've never tried to hurt anyone or whatever." And then to be able to share the good news with them that, no, the reality of it is you're not good enough and no one is good enough.
We all fall short.
Exactly. You know, and everyone thinks that they're going to get there by getting into heaven by being good enough. And the reality of it is, no, that's not what Scripture teaches at all. You know, Scripture teaches that when we become... you know, new in Christ, when we become Christ in us, then our good works follow that. Our good works don't lead us into a relationship with Christ. They're a result of our relationship with Christ. So works has a place, but it doesn't cause salvation. Works is the fruit of our salvation.
Okay, now, I do want a little aside here. Were you embarrassed at all? I mean, Paul says God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. And, you know, if I see somebody on the side of the street saying, Jesus is Lord, repent, you know, blah, blah, I feel at once a little embarrassed for the guy, but I toot my horn because I want him to know that I'm for him and I believe in what he's doing. But it's kind of hard to stand out there and people think you're, well, it says a fool for Christ. Doesn't it say that somewhere in the scriptures?
Yeah, it is. But I never was the idea where I was preaching on the street corner. I was always conversational. You know, we would, like, I was approached conversationally.
Oh, so you weren't arrogant or self-righteous or religious?
No, I mean, the Lord humbled me, you know, through this and realizing that this is nothing that I did. In fact, I thought that I was coming to Christ, you know, that the Lord was, you know, that I was hungering or seeking after God when reality scripture teaches that God is the one that was drawing me in.
Yeah, he says, I chose you. You did not choose me, and you accepted.
Exactly. But yeah, we have to know that God is the one who's drawing us to himself. Scripture says that no one comes to the Father except the Father draw him. So yeah, and we just simply have to say yes. So that's our only part is that we just say yes to what Jesus has done for us and allow him to do what he wants to do in our life. So this day it happened is a day I marked on my calendar, and it's a day I celebrate every year, my born-again birthday. It was March 20th, 1988. You know, we had been married for not even a year. And over the next couple of months, as my wife saw the transformation, as she was listening to Christian radio as well, she gave her life to the Lord. And then we became equally yoked in the Lord, both passionate about serving him. And, you know, we were on a journey trying to find a church. And it's exciting what God did in our lives. And man, I have no regrets about what happened and the way it happened.
What point, now you come home, your wife sees, you went to this Methodist church on a Sunday morning, you did not know the Lord. You felt an unction to receive him. And I presume it was like a light switch. You know, it's one minute you know him, the one minute you don't know him, the next minute you do know him. Okay, so she comes home and she senses a difference in you. How long would it be till your lovely bride, Lynn, would fall to her knees?
I'm guesstimating it was about 6 months or so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She saw a difference in her husband, something that they call it a witness, right?
Absolutely.
And what is a witness for somebody who might not know who's listening?
A witness is, you know, you think about a courtroom, a witness tells the jury what they saw, what their experience was.
Can I get a witness?
Yeah. So when we're called to be witnesses, we don't need to know all the answers or whatever. We are simply to declare what God has done in our lives. So I tell my young people all the time, if you know the Lord, you've been saved by him, you have enough information to share that with somebody else. Seems like some people, the longer they're in church, the more inadequate they feel, you know, to be a witness for Christ. And new believers are the ones that are being obedient to the call to be his witnesses.
And I know that you said that radio fed your spirit and your hunger and your thirst for a connection with God. But they do say, I remember I was at Pastor Greg Sempstrott's church years ago, and he says, how many people are here today because of our ads on TV? How many people are here because of our ads on radio? A few hands went up. How many people are you here because you read about us in the newspaper? But he said, how many people are here because somebody invited you? Whoa, multitudes of hands went up in the air. So it's by personal one-on-one invitation, right?
Exactly, and that's what we're called to do. You know, in Acts 1:8 it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses.
Yeah.
So if you know Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, you have the power to be his witnesses. So it doesn't take a special degree or whatever. It just takes a willing heart to speak to your neighbor. Some people are so intimidated to open their mouths and share. But that's why God didn't take us away. You know, Mark Cahill, a really good evangelist, you know, we become friends with him. Anyway, he wrote a book, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, is we can't share Christ with lost people. We can worship, we can know God, you know, all the things that we can do, we can fellowship, but we can't witness to the lost in heaven. So he leads us here.
That's a great insight, because I remember I'd had an incident where I helped somebody out, and I got into my car after doing that, and of course I was touched, and I know that person was touched. And it was like a voice within me said, you know, give all you can now, because in the next place you're going, they're not going to need what you have to give. There's not money in heaven, you know. So it's like, give now while you can give. Can you imagine? I mean, whatever you have in your bank account, and you're floating up to heaven, you look down and go, oh, no, I could have fed those people. I could have clothed the naked. I could have done a whole lot more. Oh, and then there's the chances gone forever.
Yeah, like you think of in the movie Schindler's List. You know, Schindler had the regret that I could have saved more, I could have done more. Although he helped hundreds, you know, his regret was that he could have done more. You know, and speaking of, you know, being a witness for Christ, you know, there's really, it's a win-win-win scenario. The only way we lose, you know, when we share Christ, is if we don't share Christ. Because really, a couple things can happen. You share the gospel with someone, they can receive it. And join you as a fellow believer in Christ.
Or mock you.
They can mock you. And Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted
for my name's sake.
Yeah. For great is, you know, great is your reward.
Yeah. Jump, you know, up and down.
So even if they mock you, reject you, that's good news, because you are being persecuted and you will receive reward for that.
And also what you were saying about abortion earlier. The Lord says in the scriptures, it says, if you see evil and do nothing, the blood will be on your hands. If you see evil and attempt to correct it, though you fail, the blood will not be on your hands, says the Lord of hosts.
Yeah, that's true. You know, so often we feel passive. You know, we don't want to get involved in, you know, different things, being a witness, being a, you know, intervening in people's lives and stuff. And that's the very thing that we're called to do. You know, I remember the quote I heard about good intentions. You know, having good intentions is, in essence, it's really useless, because unless you put it into practice and do what that intention is, it's really of no value at all.
Well, when I was a kid, we grew up, they were always saying the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions. Intentions look on. You know, sympathy looks on. Empathy moves.
Yeah, exactly. And but if we don't put into practice what we're called to be, doers of the word. You know, James says, you know, if you see a brother in need and don't help him, you may say, God bless you, and, you know, whatever. But if you don't help them in their situation, then it's useless. You know, we're called to be a doer of the word, you know, in our service, in our action, in our witness. There's so many things that, you know, people just want to go to church and learn a new message or get fed, you know, whatever. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, the more information that we have in our head, the more obsolete it becomes in terms of practice. You know, I think maturity.
Mean?
I think maturity in Christ is not based upon the amount of knowledge that we have. Is I think our culture sort of measures it that way.
Doesn't it say in the Bible that they'll be forever learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth? And what is the meat of the word, and what is the milk of the word? The milk of the word, maybe you can memorize it, but the meat of the word is going out and feeding somebody.